Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs Patio Season, episode number 22 of the show. And I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And July went by super fast, and we're already into August, still patio season, of course. And but we have some exciting news to tell our listeners.
Yes. So some of you may have seen our recent social media posts where we were giving some hints that we have a big announcement coming up that we want to share with you. And our show has come a long way since we started back in September of 2019. And with this episode, we are proud to announce that we have joined the Believe Network. Woohoo!
Yay! So we're just going to give you a bit of background on Believe. It is a sports and entertainment production company that hosts approximately 500 shows covering the NHL, the NFL, NBA, MLB, NCAA basketball, and a lot more. So for you, our listeners, you'll still find us on your favorite app, wherever you listen to us normally, it'll stay the same. The difference will be that we will have more tools to make the show even better for you.
Yeah, that's right. And we would love to hear from you about this and anything else you hear on our show. So a reminder to be sure to leave us a rating or review, and you can let us know what you think about it. It's easy on Apple and Spotify, and it's important for our show to get more exposure as a source for Leaf content. So we always, as always, we thank you for taking the time to do that for us.
So another reason for us to celebrate, and like we mentioned, we started our show in September of 2019, and that means our fourth anniversary is coming up. So be sure to follow us on social media and tune in to our next show, as we will be announcing details about our anniversary giveaway.
Yeah, so I can't believe we're already coming up on anniversary giveaway number four. That's like, it's pretty amazing. And that's going to be super fun. So anyway, before we get into our show, a couple of other quick notes. Obviously, the Leafs held their development camp from July 17th to 22nd. And all eyes seem to be on Matthew Nyes and Fraser Minton, the Leafs' first pick in the second round of this year's draft. It was pretty exciting week or so for those boys. Yeah. And I especially enjoyed watching all the different things that they did with them, including their learning to cook sessions, and they seem to be having a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I love how they had Jason Spezza was there and involved in the development camp. And he talked to the prospects about like how to, I guess, on and off the ice, how to become a pro, basically. And the prospects apparently were super excited, as they should be, to hear from him. So that was kind of cool. And the other thing, I guess, going back to Matthew Nyes, I mean, everybody was paying attention to him. He was like he is from Arizona, but he was like the Austin Matthews of the development camp. All the media seemed to be paying attention to him. And we'll see him, actually. I totally forgot about this, Syl. Did you remember the World Junior Tournament is next week? August the 9th. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. And I was talking to my son about this, that I'm actually so starved for hockey that I'm like really actually super excited that it's happening in August this year. It's a little bit of hockey to kind of whet the appetite. Yeah. So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. So that's running from August 9th to 20th. So we'll definitely see Matthew Nyes on the US team. And there were a couple of other players that caught some attention, I guess, at the development camp. One of them I read about was defenseman William Villeneuve. And he just won the Memorial Cup with the St. John Sea Dogs. And he's going to have his first pro season this year with the Marlies. But he basically just needs to work, apparently, on his defensive game, obviously, and getting faster and stronger. That was one player that that I noticed in all the reports. And then another player that I noticed was Fraser Minton, who's our second round pick from this year's draft. And so he's only 18 years old. But Haley Wickenheiser was really impressed by how he uses his size, and he's not afraid to go into the corners and muck it up a little bit. But he still has to grow a lot. And for Haley Wickenheiser, we actually kind of missed it a little bit. Well, we didn't miss it, because there was an announcement around the time that we we're recording or releasing our last show, that Haley Wickenheiser, Dr. Haley Wickenheiser, I should say, was promoted to the position of assistant GM player development. So that's a huge thing for women, obviously women in the game and growing the game and getting the getting what she deserves, like the promotion and getting recognized for all the work she does. Because I cannot believe still mm-hmm. she works in emergency rooms as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how she yeah. does it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know how she does it. But gosh, she's got a lot of drive. God love her. So yeah, I'll keep it going. But yeah, it's definitely long overdue for women to be recognized in this way. And I think a lot of teams, like, you know, we talked about it on our last show, some different women that have been signed to prominent roles within NHL organizations, and like literally within, it felt like right after we hit you know, the end button for our recording, a whole bunch yeah. more announcements were made for various teams. So July was definitely a banner month for that, for women you know, achieving these great things in the NHL and in the game. So I hope we're going to see a lot more of that, because I think that there's a different perspective to be offered. And if you are going to promote, you know, diversity and equity within sports, it's not just on the ice, it's also the thinkers as well. So, you know, it's basically only going to be good for everyone involved. So
yeah. And going on to another item that's pretty important for Leaf fans, is that the 2022-23 NHL season schedule came out in early July. The season opener is October the 12th versus the Habs, and the home opener is the next night on October 13th versus the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, I don't really like that it's on a back to back like that. Like,
no.
No, that's especially the yeah. fact that the home game for us is on the second half. It's anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. A few other items to note related to the schedule is, speaking of back-to-backs, we have 14 of them. The busiest month is going to be November with 15 games in total. The longest homestand the Leafs will have is 5 games, which isn't too bad, which will start on January 23rd and finish up February 1st. And the busiest road month will be March, with a total of 9 games on the road. So speaking of going on the road, we're going to talk more about this in the main part of our show. So let's get into starting it with Leafs talk. We're going to give our thoughts on what moves were made in free agency. And secondly, we're going to talk about the road trips, like I said, with our segment of On the Road with Chris and Syl, where we highlight some road trip possibilities for this upcoming season. And in our third period segment, we're going to take a trip around the Atlantic Division and give our thoughts on what moves teams have made within our own division and what we think about it. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
So Kyle Dubas, he made quite a few changes to Leafs roster at free agency and in the week or two that followed that. But and again, now the Leafs are up against the cap, but like a lot of teams. And before we get into that, though, I would just want to start off with some back and forth that I had on Twitter with one of our followers at PragAriaMD. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly. But yeah, so thank you for, I guess, the communication with us. We really like to have that interaction with our listeners, and he is a listener of our show, so that's great. So I started off with this tweet or comment related to Kyle Dubas saying that the Leafs aren't done, and the way Dubas said at the time, guys that look at our situation, they'll say, I can go there for a year or two on relatively low dollars, and the group would be a fit for me to have success and then parlay that into something greater, unquote. So my tweet said that it didn't have to be that way if Dubas would consider trading one of his top forwards. And he disagreed with this, our at PragAriaMD. But he also disagreed with my opinion that Justin Hall should be traded. So that was the last point that we had. So I actually mentioned there that we talk about this on the show. So I wanted to address it a little bit. So I actually went a little bit further and I looked up some, the stats actually on Justin Hall weren't, to my surprise, they actually weren't too bad overall. But mm-hmm. in the end, to me, he doesn't use his size enough, even though the stats show that he had like the highest number of hits, I guess, on the team last season, in the regular season. But I don't know. I don't know how that was possible. I was like shocked when I read that.
The thing with stats is that it's with him for sure. Yeah. It's the eye test, you know, and the thing about stats yeah. is that it doesn't take into account errors or things that happen in crucial moments, but continue.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. And speaking of that, actually, it stuck in my mind and I actually watched it again in the playoffs. There was that game number 4 where we were leading the series with Tampa 2-1. And he had that brutal giveaway with like not even a minute into mm-hmm. the game. And it gave Tampa that was the brutal, it was 7-3, I think, that loss, the 4th game where they just basically, it looked like they didn't show up. They were happy mm-hmm. with the split. But I mean, and even at the time, I remember talking to you, Syl, about it, like, because Liljegren played the first 2 games. And then I guess Sheldon Keefe at the time said that he thought Liljegren, it was like a man's game out there, I mm-hmm. guess, for the playoffs, the way he was kind of wording it. And that that Liljegren wasn't showing that, I guess, but I don't know. We thought he actually played pretty well.
Yeah, I thought he played his game, which and then, this is the thing. This yeah. is the one thing where we did talk a little bit about coaching, where we were concerned mm-hmm. that Keefe was a little bit, you know, going on too much about the pushing and shoving and the toughness aspect. I think that's always sort of their downfall. They try to play a game that's not theirs. And I didn't see anything wrong with the way Liljegren was playing, because he's playing his game. I didn't yeah. see any huge mistakes.
Yeah. And yeah, no, exactly. Like yeah. glaring. And that's the thing about Justin Hall. It's glaring mistakes. It's almost like Jake Gardner yeah. in a way, like when, mm-hmm. right? Like that, when he makes a mistake, it's yeah. a big one and you notice it. So that's basically my reasoning behind trading him. But having said that, and we definitely it will actually even us right out for the cap. But having said that, I actually read another article that made sense as well, that there's actually no rush to trade anyone right now because a lot can happen with eight. There's 8 exhibition games that the Leafs are mm-hmm. going to have to play. And we all know that injuries happen. So that's probably why it's been so quiet. I was thinking now, like Kyle Dubas is probably going to wait until September.
Oh, for sure.
Possibly anyways, because he has that time to try and figure out like to get cap compliant, basically.
Yeah, so go ahead.
I just also think that it's time for us to give our young defense more opportunity, because we have, obviously everybody knows Rasmus mm-hmm. Sandin is not signed either. Right. And we got to, like, for I don't know how many years the Leafs have been, the management team has been promoting Rasmus Sandin yeah, as over the future Liljegren. For our defense. So
all this time, pretty much.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think.
Yeah. So that's my point.
You know, it's a whole thing is with the Hall. It's, and the whole reason why he's been here as long as he has been is his value for the dollars. Right. So that's kind of the thing. Mm-hmm. So unless they're going to be able to, so it will always come down to that with Dubas, unless they can find somebody that can play on the same value with the same value deal that Hall does and give us the same thing that he offers for that money, especially being a right shot D, you know, that's what it's going to come down to. But I agree with you that there needs to be opportunity for some of our younger guys, and they do have to figure out what they're going to do with Sandin and how that's going to fit, whether they're going to, like, this is the part we don't know. We don't know how far along the curve they are with him, you know, playing the right side, for example, if he's willing to do that, if he wants to do that, you know, whether that's yeah. part of the negotiations yeah. Surrounding him at all. I know that he has done that. He's done that with the Marlies in the past, but they haven't really been very committed to, you know, trying it out for an extended period. So like, I hope if that's the way they're thinking, that all summer long, they've had somebody working with him on that so that he comes into camp ready to go, on that side. Having said that, you know, like you said, there's still lots of time for them to make moves. And as far as being, you know, not compliant with the cap, there are a lot of teams that are in a lot more dire straits with regards to that. Oh, so like for us, it's not going to take that many moves to get us under if they have to put, you know, certain people on waivers or whatever. Yeah. And like you said, there could be injuries also. So I think that they're going to wait and see. I think that's why they always load up in this way, because they want to see how, people compete in, training camp for those spots. So I think this year more than ever, it's going to be that situation. All right,
So thank you to at PragArea MD again for that interaction with us. It was good. So I hope you understand my point now. Everybody has their own opinion, right? So, and it's good to have your own thoughts in that. So we'll see how it goes. Definitely. Anyways, we'll see what happens.
So moving on to what moves the Leafs have made so far, here are the players that are out of our lineup. So obviously Jack Campbell, Peter Mrazek, Ilya Mikheyev, Ilya Lyubushkin, Andre Kasha, and Colin Blackwell are all out. And who has joined us?
I forgot. Did
we forget somebody on that list?
One person that... Yeah, it was Jason Spezza.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because he's out, but he's not really out. He's just not going to be on the ice.
But he's not really out.
So, he does need to be replaced on the ice for sure. So the players who are in and have joined the Leafs family... Matt Murray, Ilya Samsonov, Callie Yarncrock, Nicholas Obey-Kubel, Adam Gaudette, Dennis Malgin, welcome back, Jordy Ben, and Victor Mete. So are you surprised at any of the names that were added or taken out?
Yeah, I was actually surprised at Lyubushkin, first of all. I thought he fit in well here. I thought he, for the short time he was here... And I don't know why, but then again, I guess it was to do with the money. Obviously, he got a little bit more from Buffalo because he went across the border there down the QEW. And so I thought he would return, and it would have been nice to have something from that Nick Ritchie trade, but that blew up in our face there. But anyhow, that was the one surprise that I thought. And then of the new guys, maybe Dennis Malgin. I don't really understand why they brought him back. The only thing I could think of was for the Marlies for depth on there.
Although apparently he played
really well in Switzerland. Apparently that's where he was playing over in Europe. But yeah, I don't really understand that one.
I think he's definitely, like you said, a depth signing for sure. I mean, as far as like, what about the goaltending situation though? I mean, it just seems like so long ago, but we haven't really talked that much about it. What about the goaltending? I mean, has the shock worn off now? Is that it?
Yeah, I was still just trying to show my pissed off part because I was like, for at least 24 hours, I was pissed off when I heard that. But actually, when I watched the video, like of Matt Murray afterwards with the media, his availability. And, I mean, I don't know. I hope it's a risky move. We're always risky and in goal for whatever reason. And it's that whole connection with the Sioux again, that still kind of bothers me. And actually the main thing that bothered me really was obviously he is injury prone the last few years, but the main thing was the fact that we actually helped the Ottawa Senators by taking 75% of the salary. Like,
yeah,
to me, that is still the number one thing that I'm just pissed off about. I don't think we should have done them a favor that way. And, but I hope it works out. Actually, it's the other guy, the other goaltender that I'm actually have a little bit of higher hopes for, but that's in little bit later in this segment, but I don't know. It might work out for Kyle Dubas. Who knows? If it doesn't, basically this is definitely his last kick at the can here.
That's the swan song for sure. The last hurrah. Yeah. Because, I don't know. Like for me though, like this is the one thing that sort of gives me hope. What I go back to is the last time I felt this way about the goaltender that they acquired in the offseason was when Curtis Joseph left the team to go to Detroit. Mm-hmm. Really similar. Like he was so beloved here and then he went to Detroit instead. And there was all the bad feelings between him and Pat Quinn at the time. There was all that speculation because he didn't get the starting job really with the Olympic team. And then he decided to leave. And then they brought in Ed Belfour. And interestingly, I actually looked it up and the year before he came to us, he didn't have the best stats. He had a really similar goals against and a very bad save percentage. It was under 8.95.
Oh, really? Hmm.
And so we all thought he was kind of washed up at the time when he came in. And of course, you know, from our Norris Trophy battles, we hated him. Remember the Belfour flop, how he used to flop all the time. And oh my God, it would drive
us
crazy.
Norris Division,
yes. And what did I say? Norris Trophy? I don't know.
You said Norris Trophy. It's close, but
anyway.
Norris Division, yeah.
But yeah, so I just remember being pretty down on that pickup at the time. And so that worked out pretty well for us, I do recall, getting us to some conference finals at the time. So if the goal is making it to, you know, a longer stretch into the playoffs and it works out for us, I mean, it could be a really good thing, but it's definitely going to be something that is either going to really be great or horrible. I don't really see that being like too much in between there.
Yeah. Are you surprised of any of the players who have left?
Well, I guess a lot of I'm not really, because all of the players mostly that left were signed as sort of, I guess, you know, fringe, you know, filler, you know, around our big guys. Right. So, and Mikheyev for sure priced himself out and so we weren't going to be able to re-sign him. Kasha, I guess a lot of people are surprised about, but I honestly think he's, you know, he basically went for about the same amount of money that he was going to get here. So people wonder why he would go there, but I honestly think that he was just going to get a bigger opportunity there than here. So there's a lot of factors, not just money, that goes into these decisions. I just hope that they can manage his health. You know,
Carolina. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. All right. So next question we have here, of the players joining the team, who do you think could bring more than expected to the Leafs lineup?
More than expected? Yeah. Well,
and this is where I have the goalie.
Is it what we're hoping will happen or what will happen? I mean, it's kind of hard to say. I guess that I'm interested to see how that Cali Yarncroc works out for us. I think that could be a really good pickup.
Yeah. This is where actually I thought of Samsonov, Ilya Samsonov, because he's a 25 years old goalie. And I don't know. I just thought we have a new, what's his name? Curtis Sanford, I guess, is our new goaltending coach now. And he got really high praise from everyone, like, because he came from the Vancouver Canucks organization. Apparently, he's fantastic there. He really worked,
They credit him.
Thatcher Demko, I think, is one of his students.
I find it interesting how they always credit the coach for things that are great, but when it's not, then it's the other way around. But
exactly. But the Leafs, too, when you look at it, we basically have a better team defense, maybe not best defense, but the team concept of defense. is better than what the Capitals have, according to what a lot of reports said. So when you look at it that way, if you have a better team defense concept, you hope that that's going to obviously, or it should help out the goalie. And I mean, because he's,
I know
he was a first round.
Yeah.
Pick
and that's
too,
like a huge thing for a goalie to be picked in the first round. Doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the guy that I think could bring.
No, I agree.
More.
I agree with that. And he only really had one bad year, which was last year. So
yeah,
that's, it's always interesting, you know, because I remember when I there's a course that I took in, must have been statistics course, I guess, that I took in university one time. And I just remember the professor at the time gave an analogy of sports, basically. And he said that it was talking about baseball in particular. And he was talking about, you know, the difference between, you know, a player who's coming off a career year versus a player who's coming off a really down year. Like, that's, neither of those are indicative of the way the player plays. They're never going to ever be as good as their career year, and they're usually not as bad as their worst year.
Right.
So I think that's what the Leafs are betting on, obviously, with both of these goaltender signings, is that they really are. That's not really their, you know, happy medium as a player, right? So
yeah, and Samsonov, he basically signed a 1 year deal, so it's kind of like a bet.
So
bet on him to want to show that.
Yes, and actually, I read that that's what Dubas said, that he was surprised about that too, that he actually chose to bet on himself,
right?
As well,
yeah,
he wanted the 1 year deal,
yeah,
for that reason,
yeah.
So, yeah, so obviously they like to make it exciting for us and stressful
at the same time.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So further on from this, though, like, as we were talking about the cap issues that we have coming up, is there really room in the lineup for all these signings, and where will they all fit in? I mean, the goaltenders, obviously that's an easy slot, yeah. But everybody else.
It's exactly. Two for two, basically.
Yeah.
Two in, two out, sort of. But I mean, I went, basically the way I did it was I just went through the lines, basically. I see, obviously, the number one line still being the same, Matthews, Marner, and Bunting. And then I had, obviously, Tavares and Nylander together again. same thing. And I put Robertson in there. I mean, that Nick Robertson, we haven't mentioned, he hasn't been part of the conversation yet, and he's not in this group of players who are in, but they got to give him the opportunity, and he's not a fourth liner, so he has to be in the top six.
No, definitely, but he's got to play top 6 minutes for sure.
Yeah, and that means what happens to Alexander Kerfoot, right? So that's another question altogether. But I had that Kale Järnkrok, I had him on the third line as the winger, with David Camp and Pierre Engvall, who just signed a 1 year deal for just over $2 million as well. And it was interesting with Engvall, actually, because I think Sheldon Keefe is going to have to rein him in again, because he's like talking about, in his media availability after he signed, he was talking about scoring more goals. And it's like, yes, the third line, we need production from that line, but that's not really what we need you for, scoring goals.
Do you think that they're right? Do you think they're gonna use him up like between third and fourth again, though? Like, kind of depending on the game or on where he is in his game?
Probably. I mean, Sheldon Keefe, he mixes everything up too until he, I mean, it would be nice to have us
with that too. He could end up playing higher up too, potentially, as well.
Yes. Depending. And I have heard that too. That he might actually get a chance with Nylander and Tavares.
Right.
But I don't know about that. And then on the fourth line, this is the one I had a problem with. So I had that Nicholas Obey-Kubel. Him, actually, what I read about him, I'm actually excited about him, because he's 5'11", 187 pounds, but apparently he's very physical in his game.
And I he's very Bunting-like.
Yes, tenacious, sort of like right on top of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that I'm actually interested in. There was I forget who it was, but apparently he's taken out a couple of players in a in a nonchalant way. He's injured players, but he wasn't really. It's like he got out of the way at a good moment. Mm-hmm. And then the other player ended up getting injured. I have him on the right wing. But then I was looking at all these other possibilities, like Adam Gaudette, Dennis mm-hmm. Malgin. I don't see Jordy Benn and Victor Mete. I see both of them as depth for the Marlies, but they have to, I know Victor Mete has to go through waivers mm-hmm. as well. So that's the other thing you got to be thinking about here is that
totally
as we go, like there's waivers to consider too, right? So some of these mm-hmm. players are going to get taken probably when, because they always do when it's Leafs or when it's coming from Leafs.
I know. Yeah, but I mean, I think they planned for that too. Like I think that this is in the back of their minds when they pick up half these guys that they are automatically already thinking of who are they going to potentially leave unprotected for these things.
Right. You know? Yeah. Or want to send down to the exactly. Marlies. Yeah. Adam Gaudette is one of those guys. I mean, he could make it for the fourth line, mm-hmm. but then he could also be on the Marlies because then they have like Joey Anderson. They're trying to right. promote him a lot too as yeah. a player to come up on the team. So that's why these other guys and Dennis Malgin, I definitely think is going to be on the Marlies, but I'm just not sure who's going to play center on the fourth line and the other wing. Those are the ones that are up in the air for me. And you need like that for.
And then what that about
fourth line just needs to be like an energy line. And that's why it's so important.
Well, which begs the question then, like, are they like, have they already talked to Simmons about burying his deal? Because,
yeah,
you know, what yeah. kind of energy are you going to get from a guy that's, you know, dramatically slowing down? I mean, I think he's definitely still got the passion and he, you know, he wants to do a lot better, but that's not always enough at this stage of the game. Right. And then there's Kyle Clifford also.
Like the two veteran players basically that's going to be tough ones to make a decision on. But, like you said, they're slower now and they're just not making that impact on the ice. Let's just say exactly. that we need. Mm-hmm. So that's basically how we thought about what I thought of it. We'll have to wait and see there's still a lot of questions and at least one, maybe two more moves for Kyle Dubas to make before the start of the regular season, which begins October 12th on the road in Montreal. So no doubt a lot of Leaf fans will be making that trip to the Bell Center. And now we're going to give a few suggestions on road trips you might want to consider for this upcoming season.
That's right. So for this round of On the Road with Chris and Syl, we've missed doing our segment On the Road with Chris and Syl. Now that traveling is back and the schedule is out, we thought it would be a good time to start off with our recommendations for a road trip. So Chris, what's the first destination on your list?
All right. You're going to have a good laugh at this. But so I chose mm-hmm. Boston, not the fact that I chose Boston. That's not funny, but you'll just wait a minute or so and I'll let you know because I had no idea about this. But they're playing the Bruins January 14th. It's a Saturday night. So that's an easy one to, I guess, arrange for flight, hotel, go for a nice little weekend trip. The only thing is the weather. Hopefully it's winter in Boston and they don't get one of those nasty storms because they can. But it's original six team. And I actually thought to myself, too, for us, in particular, like we've seen four teams, right? Because we've seen Montreal. We've been to Montreal several times. Chicago, mm-hmm. Detroit. Oh, no. So three. Montreal, Detroit, Chicago. And there's Boston, New York. Who's the sixth one? Oh, God. Montreal, Chicago. I'm losing it here.
The original six?
Yes. I'm losing
original
it.
Original six you're talking about?
Yes. Oh.
Isn't it us?
It's us. Oh, my God. We're gonna play against each funny. Other. Wow. Okay, no, that's not what I was meaning. Oh, that's a good blooper one there. All right. Anyways, okay, moving on. There's the recent history to the two teams, so obviously we all know about that. But the thing that I didn't know about Boston was that they're famous for beans.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No,
I didn't know that.
And then I thought to myself, well, why do they call it Bean Town? I thought to myself, right? Because it's like Bean Town. That's the thing that I thought that is so dumb.
Yeah, they have a special recipe. Boston baked beans. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I thought was that it was famous for, which it is also famous for, is Boston cream pie.
That's right. They're famous for a lot of things. Also Boston chowder.
Yes. Yeah.
Clam chowder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though I don't like seafood type stuff, but no. I hear that it's good if you like that sort of thing. Yeah. I could go for some Boston baked beans. I like beans.
Yeah. No, so could I. Oh my God. I still can't believe I did that original six thing. That is funnier than the Boston beans. But anyways, yeah. So that's my first pick for a road trip for our listeners. What's your first pick?
Well, my first pick actually is a little bit earlier in the season, and I picked Pittsburgh versus Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh on November 26th. I did take into account the whole travel situation right now still, because, you know, going through airports probably still kind of a nightmare. And if you're just going to go away for a weekend, maybe you want to take it a little easier. So I tried to pick places that you could drive through without, you know, spending like a whole day in the car. So Pittsburgh obviously is a great destination for that. It's only really about a 5-hour drive or so. November 26th, the way climate change is working, November's been pretty decent weather-wise. So I think you could get by with driving without too much difficulty. And another reason that I thought of it is just because the opportunities to see Sid play in his home rink are going to be less and less. So given that it's a Saturday, I thought that's a good opportunity to go down there. And it's not far from Grove City. So if people like outlet shopping, that's a great outlet to go and stock up on some stuff and bring home.
Yeah, I think that would be around the American Thanksgiving, right?
Oh yeah, exactly. So it'd be, that's like busy. You could go for Black Friday at Grove City and then go to the game on Saturday.
Yeah. And also too, Pittsburgh is such a great sports town.
Like 100%.
All kinds of the sports teams. Like they're really into it. Like when you go, I mean, I've been to Grove City the one time, but they're always all their restaurants and everything. It's just outside of Pittsburgh and they're all focused on
tons of Steeler fans,
maybe the Steelers
I'll never forget. Like everywhere you go, people are wearing jerseys. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And the other city that I'm picking for the second road trip is Vancouver. Vancouver Canucks, March the 4th. It's a Saturday night again, hockey night in Canada. And we know the Canucks fans just love us. That's why I picked them. Mm-hmm. So we could go on a Saturday night and just take over Rogers Arena. And it's just because of that, because I really don't understand. They're just jealous, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But because that we travel so well, Leafs Nation.
They have calmed down a little bit, though, over the years. And I do find that the Oilers fans are now taking over a little bit. And that might be because they're really they're really the Edmonton Leafs over there now. So maybe that's why they're just, you know, getting a little bit more bitter. And there's always the McDavid Matthews things. Yeah. But yeah, typically Vancouver has no love for Leafs or Leaf fans. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be fun.
It may be difficult. Yeah, it may be difficult, though, to get a ticket in any Canadian market when the Leafs go there.
Yes, it's tough.
It's tough to get a ticket, so you'd have to plan early for that one. But on a positive, like, Vancouver is a very beautiful city. I've been there before in the summertime, and I mean, March, I think the weather is going to, it might be rainy, I guess, but it'll be much, much warmer than Toronto, let's just say. So that was my second pick. And you could see, obviously, Ilya Mikheyev in his new hometown, I guess. See how he's doing out there.
I would say, too, that as nasty as the fans can be towards Leaf fans, I would still say that the people there are lovely. Like, they are so friendly and so nice. It's very rare to go to a city in North America very often where you just walk down the street and people will smile at you and say hello. If you're even looking like you want to cross the street, not at a crosswalk, all the traffic will stop for you to let you cross. Like, people are very kind and polite and friendly, I find there. Yeah. So it's definitely a nice place to go, and really, really excellent, excellent restaurants.
Yeah. It's definitely a different vibe there for a big
for
city.
Sure.
Yeah. It's a very beautiful city. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it when I went.
Yes. And in like from everywhere you stand, you can see the mountains, and then you look to the other side and you see the ocean. So that's definitely, you know, something that you don't get everywhere also. So, that would be an awesome pick, and we have not been there yet. No. So,
What's your next one?
For me, my last pick is Carolina, March 25th. This again could be a little sketchy for part of the drive, but you know, once you hit a certain spot, you're going to be getting it's a little bit more springtime down there. And I've just always heard that this is a really fun place to see a game. And obviously we know the jerks, we know the fans, you know, get behind them. I just think that it would be a definitely fun trip. And of course, we like our barbecue wherever we go, right? So we would like to try the Carolina barbecue. And so that's definitely a spot. I would honestly say even better if we play them in the playoffs in the second round. That would be, you know, that was on our you know, bucket list that we were hoping for, which didn't materialize this year. So even better to go for the playoffs, I think, because the weather would be that much nicer, but it's beautiful down there. It's really similar to here as far as how it looks, you know, with the big trees, and it's very lush and not quite tropical yet. Yeah. So I'd like to see a game there.
Yeah, I remember we did kind of, it was a few years back, we investigated to actually go there for a game on a road trip. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we were looking, like, apparently there's a hotel right across the street that from the arena that's fantastic. It's very close. And so for our listeners, if you do plan on going down there, check that out. I forgot the name of the hotel, but apparently there's not too many in that vicinity. But apparently it's really good. It's not that expensive. So, that was one thing. And
yeah, we'll try to look that up and, put it in our notes.
Yeah. And, for you guys. And then the other thing is, of course, you get to see our old friend, Freddie. Poor Freddie.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll feeling back into better health.
I don't know. He hasn't been around, like, even with, like, Matthews has been a little bit on social media with his dog and everything, and they're best buddies. So I don't know. And the other thing too, I saw, this is not on the on the trail of road trips, but I saw Mitch, he's going to be getting married, I guess, within the next week or so. So I would think a lot of...
I thought it was next year.
Oh, I don't know. I
thought it was next year. I saw on the cookie 2023.
Oh, really?
Oh. On his, so what are they having? On his engagement. I think they had an engagement party because they couldn't have one, like a real one, because of COVID.
Oh, is this an engagement party that they had?
So this was an engagement party.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I was confused. Yeah. I thought it was like a pre-wedding party thing. Yes. Like, anyways. All right.
No. It is technically a year.
But not really in that way. Yeah. All right. I get it. So, going back to Carolina, definitely... I guess, aren't they making a movie, that David Ayres thing? They're making a movie about that, aren't they? I think they are.
I think so. Yeah.
Anyways, you might see David Ayres down there too. Anyway. Who knows? Because he's their best friend down there now. So that's another highlight there.
So the Leafs had a pretty good road record last season, going 23-13-5, but it could be a lot different this season versus teams in the Atlantic Division, which brings us to what we're going to talk about in our segment of the third period.
Yeah, so this is going to be interesting. There's so far, there's been a lot of player movement this offseason, and we're still expecting a few moves to be made by many teams just because they need to get on work under the rules of the NHL salary cap. And we all know division games are most important. So that's why we chose to focus on the Atlantic Division. So first off, Syl, who do you think made the biggest improvement so far in their deals or signings made in the of the teams in the Atlantic?
Well, I think, you know, to me, it's kind of a bit of a tie, but I'm going to go with Detroit. I find Steve Yzerman is sneaky good at bringing in just the right people. And
you know what I heard? I'm going to interrupt you before you go on. You know what I heard someone call him, though? He called him the Iser plan.
That's interesting. So,
yeah. So go on.
Definitely. Yeah, so he's got the Iser plan. We have the Shannon plan. Interesting, they were teammates on those Stanley Cup winning teams. So, I think that they brought in some really good players, and like in particular, you know, some guys that we would have loved to have, like David Perron, for example, and I'm not sure that the Ben Chiarot signing is really that much of an ad, but the other one that was really, really a great signing was bringing Kopp in, and
Andrew Kopp.
And he is a hometown guy, so he's kind of doing what the Leafs kind of like to do, and bringing in a hometown guy who he's a former Wolverine, he's an Ann Arbor native. Yeah, I think that was a great signing for them.
Yeah, yeah. And they're
always hard.
They got that Ville Husso. That's
Ville Husso.
He's still, obviously, he doesn't have that much.
He's unproven.
First year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was that his first year in St. Louis?
No, I think he was the backup before that, too, but he just didn't play as much.
Okay.
But yeah, he's an unproven guy still. So that's why I didn't really think that that could be great for them, but it also could not. So similar to the way things are for us, except that he's got it coming off of a better season, obviously. I find that we always have trouble against Detroit anyways. They always give us a really tough game. So it's just going to be even tougher this season.
Well, it's funny because when I look at all these three teams, basically, I'm not including the Habs because they're going for the Connor Bedard sweepstakes.
Yes, that's right.
They're definitely, they're not even mentioned anywhere in my notes.
No.
So if any Habs fans are listening out there, basically, we've kind of written you off. So there you go. We're just talking about the Sabres, the Red Wings, and the Senators. That's basically who we're talking about. And I actually picked as to who made the biggest improvement so far. It is, to me, a toss-up between the Red Wings and the Senators.
Yeah, I know. I knew that if I picked one, you're picking the other. So
yeah. So well, I mean, if you look at it, though, too, I could not believe it. Like, they were... The Sabres, I couldn't believe, actually had the most points out of the three teams. They had 75 points. The Red Wings had 74 points. And the Senators last year had 73 points.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all pretty much even, let's just say, from last year.
Yeah.
I just think the Senators, obviously, they've made the... And we helped them out, of course, with the salary thing and not getting like even another player, let's just say, or something out of that deal. But anyways, we won't go on about that. But they had Alex DeBrincat, which was a total
steal,
coup, or however you steal, whatever you want to say it, from the Chicago Blackhawks, who are also basically going to, looks like, tank.
It's going to be a fight
between Montreal. Between the two original six teams, basically.
That's right.
As to who gets next year's first round draft pick. But first overall, but they got Claude Giroux, which I was interested in that he actually signed there. Like, I don't know. I know it's his hometown or close to his hometown, but I just thought like he wanted to win the Stanley Cup. There's no, like, they're not winning no cup next year. That's for sure.
No. And that's, but I think he must believe in what they're doing there. And I think that maybe he thinks that he's kind of the leadership piece. like the Lisa brought in that can really help mold their young players. They've got incredible young players. Now, the only thing is, too, is that we didn't get into too much of the whole Hockey Canada situation, but a couple of their players were on that team. And so we have no idea what's going to happen there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't for that 2018 team. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't know that. I only heard the players that have spoken out so far to say that they
Batherson
don't know anything
and
about
Formentin
it.
Are both two of their better young players. We're on that team. I don't know if that is going to have any effect as far as like their development this year.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
that's another thing.
That kind of stuff can weigh on a person, right?
So for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should too. Yeah.
And it should.
But So it's basically a toss up between the Senators and the Red Wings, basically, in my opinion, as to who could. Who made the best improvements so far? And that's so far because there's still lots of moves to make still for a lot of teams. And so who should the Leafs be most concerned about?
Like team wise, we're talking here. Who should we like in our division in the Atlantic?
Yeah.
Proper. Who should we be most concerned about?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that's toughy. I actually think it still could be Florida, even though they've basically pivoted. But I still think that they're still going to come back strong.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've got an interesting new factor in signing Tkachuk. So they're going to be a little bit a different team to play against. So they got something that we've been trying to get, right? Because by all accounts, they play a really similar game to us. And they're just they're often as risky as we are. And both of our exits, showed in the playoffs as well. So, that's basically the team that I think that it's going to be interesting to see how those matchups look. And I actually did not really look at the schedule because they always put our games against them towards the end. And I don't know if we have too many games against them at the beginning of the season this year, but I'll be interested to see that and how that rolls out.
Right. And I was just looking it up because I just remembered that Paul Maurice is going to be their coach this year.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. That's another factor.
That's going to be some. Yeah. Yes. One of Sill's favorite coaches.
Yes. I do love Paul Maurice. Too. Mm-hmm. And he's a great quote. So that's actually, we're going to probably be hearing more of his quotes this year, which is always fun. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, I was thinking the same, actually, that it's going to be Florida because, Tampa's right there too, but
For sure,
because they're pissed off that they didn't win the cup this year, obviously, that Colorado did.
Yeah. And they have great players, but you know, that team is getting a little older. That team is even harder up against the cap than we are. And it's, I think, getting harder and harder for them to kind of fill the team out, you know, along the periphery. So I don't know how much longer they can sustain that, you know, but I think they're still going to be up there.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah. All right. And we missed one question in between.
Oh, did we?
I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes. The question of the four teams who didn't make the playoffs, who could make it close to getting in this season. So I think that, you know, we talked about a couple of them, but I think Ottawa could be the sleeper there.
Yeah. I looked it up actually because the final playoff spot in the Atlantic, it was Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're doing. They just keep they're like Bergeron and Krejci apparently is possibly coming back, but they're still not signed.
No, I know.
They actually haven't signed a contract.
It's
and they really haven't done much.
No, I don't know like, what they're waiting for. Them. I think they're just waiting for all the chips to kind of fall, and then they'll you know to see if they can fit those guys in still. And that's probably what they're waiting for, because I think both of those guys want to come back, and they're just waiting to see what their salary is. They don't want to give them the salary until they know exactly how much they can still give them, because both of those guys probably don't want to play anywhere else, and they'll take whatever. But they want to give them as much as they possibly can also, so they don't want to just sign them for a league minimum probably.
Right. Yeah, to be fair to them, basically. But yeah, they had 107 points last year. So there was a difference of 32 points between, let's say, the Boston Bruins and the Buffalo Sabres. Like, they, Buffalo had this.
That's true.
So that's a lot. Yeah. But if one of those teams were going to do it, I actually say it's the Red Wings.
Oh, yeah? No, I mean, either or, like, either of them can do it. Mind you, I would say you could be right on that, because Detroit also has some guys that are in that tier that are just a little bit older. You know, the best players that Ottawa has are still quite young, but they've got, you know, Detroit has some guys that are kind of in that middle tier, you know, in that 26 to 29 age group that, you know, probably could push.
And they have, obviously, now they have the Calder Trophy winner. They have the on defense. They have the Moritz Seider and who won the Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year. And they have like Dylan Larkin, obviously, is their one of their best players. He's their captain. And there's another young guy, though. He was younger. He could have been considered for Rookie of the Year, too. But it slipped my mind.
Yeah, I know. But what's his name?
He's a forward. They were really high on him. He played really well last year. But maybe I'll look this up too while we're talking. But but Detroit Red Wings roster. But yeah, so I'm picking the Red Wings to possibly make it. I mean, when you look at those three teams too, and we'll stick the Habs in here. We've kind of ignored them the whole time, which we said we would. Mm-hmm. When the Leafs play any of those teams, for whatever reason, we never show up.
No,
or
I know.
We always make it close. We make it close. So, if, like, with these teams now that they've made such improvements, like, we need to be, like, when we play these teams, we need to be on the ball, like, ready at the drop of the puck. We can't be screwing around.
We can't be sleeping through these games.
No.
For sure.
No. No, I mean, we shouldn't have been, but we did.
Before, either.
And we gave away points.
But now... These teams are going to be putting together more wins is the difference is one thing to be losing to these teams and they're filling out the bottom of the league. That's fine. But they're not going to do that this year. They're going to be putting together more wins. And that is going to definitely have an impact on where we finish in the standings.
Yeah, they have Tyler Bertuzzi.
Yes.
And they have Lucas Raymond is the young guy that I was... Mm-hmm. He was the guy that I was thinking of. So they're going to be a tough team to play against. So I know I have a friend that's a Red Wings fan. He'll be very impressed by my knowledge of the Red Wings when he listens to this show.
Well, you know, we do the research when we have to, right? So anyway, so we're only about 6 weeks from the start of training camp, which, gosh, I can hardly wait. So we're not that far away, and a lot still has to happen over the next few weeks for teams to get under the cap and get their final rosters set for opening night. So for the Leafs, a couple of key items in the coming weeks and going into training camp is to get the defense sorted out. And once we get to training camp, will a couple of the Marlies players push for permanent roster spots, like, say, Robertson or Joey Anderson?
Yeah, and we'll have it all covered for you and to keep you informed. And if anything big happens from now until September, we'll definitely be having a bonus episode. Otherwise, you can stay up to date by following us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917, and we are also on YouTube, so check us out there. And also visit our website, ladiestalkingleafs.com.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation you make goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. You can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
Yeah. And we thank you, or we thank you to our healthcare workers and our first responders for everything that they do and continue to do to keep us safe and healthy.
That's right. And of course, don't forget, you can find us now on the Believe Network.
Yeah.
And for now, go Leafs go.
Go Leafs go.